Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
Welcome into the Odds and Audibles podcast. I'm Matt Prem, a summer edition series of the show, getting you ready for football season quickly coming up. And on today's show, we're going to welcome in Oregon quarterbacks coach Koa Kai onto the program to talk a little bit about college football himself, the upcoming season, the position group. Koa, man, thanks for coming on the show. Hope your summer's going well. Enjoying some free time before the season really kicks off here.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Matt. Excited to be on.
You've had the entire spring, the off season's pretty much done. What have you learned just about yourself in the last 6-7 months of it? I know you worked with a room before, but right, it's your room now. It's everyone goes to follows your direction. What have you just kind of learned about yourself in this process?
I think one, there's a lot more to get done every single day than you think. Luckily we have a really good support staff in our room. Jay Johnson's been a great addition to help me out, and help the room. And you know, we got a couple of really good student assistants in the room, and, you know, Drew being a walk around OC has kind of helped as well. But you know, it's been fun. It's been, I think recruiting is the one thing, right? Going on the road now, and you're gone the whole month of May, and you're in and out of town, and you come back for, like an unofficial weekend or a scavenger hunt, then you pop back out of town. That's been a change and an adjustment, but it's been fun to, like, kind of, you know, put my mark on the room with the guys, you know, and kind of make it how we wanted it to be. And, you know, super thankful for spending the last 2.5 years with Stein in that room. I learned so much from him. But yeah, it's been fun to kind of, give our own spin on the room now since January.
Yeah. Every coach, whether it's football, basketball, whatever, and then position wise, they all have certain things that, you know, they want an identity to be attached to for their group or their team or their position. What do you kind of envision or hope that quarterbacks will be known for under your leadership at Oregon and wherever else it may take you?
Yeah. You know, competitive. I think that's number one. You want our guys to be competitive. I think we have really good, healthy competition in the room. There's not really much dissension. You know, there's nobody stabbing each other in the back, which is, I wouldn't tolerate any of that. I don't think anybody in the room would. It's fun loving. You know, we like to have fun. Like, one thing for our guys, like through spring especially, you know, especially on scrimmage days on Saturday, I would give these guys, I'd say, hey, you got an hour now, you know, go watch the tape, go watch it one time through, and then go be a kid for the rest of the weekend. Yeah. You know, I didn't want these guys ruminating over whether it was a good scrimmage for them or a bad scrimmage for them. Like, go watch the tape, you know, get a gist of how you played, and then we're going to watch this again on Monday, or we'll individually meet on Sunday. So go be a kid for the rest of the day. And that's big for me. You know, it's like, you can't lose sight of, like, football is supposed to be fun at the end of the day. Yes, it's our jobs, and the college landscape has changed a bunch, where these guys are more like pro players than they've ever been. But, like, you still can't forget why you play the game. And there's other things in life going on that's outside of ball, you know. So for me, it's been the competitive part in the room has been great. There, it's just, don't forget why we play the game, and don't forget that you're still, you know, 19, 20, 21 years old. Go enjoy that time. That's the only time in your life you're going to be, you know, that age. So
how does Koa Kai get away from what do you do? What are those things that you do personally?
I picked up golf recently, probably within the last year, and the whole room kind of has. Now, we got some good golfers in there. Tay, Brock, Dylan, KJ's coming along in his golf game. Ryder's got some sneaky golf game in there. So those guys love to golf and compete. We actually, in spring, we went and did 4v4. So the guys in the room and me and Drew took them out. We had a little, like, scramble going on, had a little competition there, one of those Sundays. But yeah, golf's been big for me recently. And then, you know, when I'm back home in Hawaii, it's fishing. I kind of grew up on the ocean. It's kind of been my thing forever. So now that I'm back home in Hawaii, definitely going to get out of the ocean a couple days before I head back.
So I guess from a golf perspective, what's been your favorite course you've played so far?
Oof. I played Chambers Bay in May.
Okay.
Up in Tacoma.
That's a big dog course.
Dude, and there's no carts, right? And I prefer to walk. I much prefer to walk. But Chambers Bay was gorgeous. I was lucky enough to go to Ducks in the Desert, some beautiful courses down there in Palm Desert. And then I just got back from Cabo, and so I golfed a few courses down in Cabo that were amazing. And actually before that, I was in Vegas golfing as well. So I've been blessed in the last 6 months to see some pretty cool courses.
That's awesome. Looks like you've got a Dante Moore shirt on.
I do. I do.
More
More
air,
air.
that's pretty sick.
That's it.
Off-season growth for him. When you compare him to where he was when he walked off the field in Atlanta in that game, where have you seen the most meaningful growth with Dante Moore?
I think in like really two realms. I don't think anybody will refute, how much of a natural passer he is and his ability to throw the football. I think number one is like his leadership ability. He's always had it, but you've really seen him this offseason take a step where like he's going to hold guys accountable vocally now, where it's like, hey, dude, you didn't run that route right. Whereas a year ago, he might not have said it all the time, but it's like, no, I need this done for this reason, right? So really just be stepping into that leadership role, becoming more vocal, becoming more demanding, but not demeaning. I think he does a really good job with that. I think he's elite at developing relationships with everybody on the team. Whether it's the guy he's throwing the ball to on Saturdays or the guy who just got onto our team. So I think he's taking a big step there. I think the second way he's taking a big step is like mentally. I think he's always been a super smart kid, but he's really taking this offseason to really dive into understanding defensive football. And then really understanding the offense as a whole, where this guy can get up on the board now and it's like, okay, well, hey, we're running this duo scheme here. This is how we're going to block it up. These are the terms we're using up front, and this is how we're going to handle support on the outside. Which a year ago he may or may not have been able to do as fluid as he has now, but that's also enabled him to hold more guys accountable. So I think in those two ways, leadership and then his understanding of the offense as a whole and defensive football has really blossomed this offseason.
When you played college football, athletes getting paid wasn't a thing. It's night and day different. And for the most part, I think it's beneficial to these guys, an opportunity to make some money and get the what that's deserved to them. But how have you kind of navigated that world and finding guys that, because I think Dante, I think all your quarterbacks, at least from an outsider's perspective of talking to them, fit this of they're not there because of the money. Obviously, the money's helpful. Right. But like that's not the driving factor, it feels like. How do you navigate those waters of finding guys that are they're here still for the right reasons and that, yeah, they did just get compensated at a very nice level.
I think that starts from the top, if I'm being honest. I know it's going to sound cliche, but it starts with Dan. Like Coach Lanning is going to like recruit. He wants certain kind of guys in his program. And I think through the last, I've been blessed to be here within the whole journey, since he's got here. Like he's really laid a foundation and a culture where, hey, this is the expectation of what an Oregon football player looks like. And this is the kind of kid we want to bring into our program. And from there, what Marshall does with roster management and staff management, and we're not just bringing anybody in to bring them in, these guys got to fit what we're trying to do. So I really think it starts with Coach Lanning, and the kind of expectation he's laid for the team, the players and the coaches. And then from there it's getting to know these guys. I talked about this in spring ball and a lot of guys can throw the ball, and a lot of guys can play the position. And so, like, you really have to dive into like what makes these guys tick. Like, I follow the when I go on campus at high school, it's like I'll follow guys around sometimes when I can. When you're able to talk to these guys, and it's like, all right, like, what does a janitor relationship look like? Does the janitor say hello to him? Does he not? Like, what does the principal say? Does the principal come meet me, or does the principal shy away? Right? That might say, oh, he doesn't like this kid. So, it's really just kind of diving into like who is the person. The money's going to come, like you said. Like, let's be honest here and transparent. Like, the quarterback's the most important position on the field at any level in football, and so he's going to be the most compensated. But from there, you just got to find the right guys. I think that really is like what makes these guys tick. What do they care about? Look at Dante. I mean, he's so frugal. Like, we go to lunch, I still pay for lunch. You know what I mean? That's Dante for you, which I love about him. Like, he's going to be just fine through his career. That's the kind of guys you want.
How cool is it though that you also can be supportive in that world as you are right now, wearing a Dante Moore shirt? And then that wasn't even
Oh yeah.
imaginable 5, 7, 10 years ago.
No, I mean, so I got the Motivate hat on, right?
Nope.
And then I got the Dante shirt on. But yeah, when I was playing, when we were playing back then, like there's no way you're wearing merch of your players and stuff. And it's I was lucky enough a couple years ago to go to the Vikings facility and spend some time with them with a minority internship deal. And walking around that building, I was 27 or 28 at the time. Like, the word coach is not used a lot there. It's first name basis, and you see the mutual respect between players and coaches. And I kind of was like, oh, like these guys are professionals about it. There is a hierarchy, right? But it's not like I'm the coach, you're the player. This is how it's got to be. And I think college is kind of trending that way, you know, a little bit. And it's like, we're both professionals here, and I'm very blessed in our room that these guys are so mature that I'm able to wear the Dante Moore shirts around, and the rest of our guys, when their families make shirts and stuff. Like,
that's cool.
And it's cool. You know, it's cool to be supportive of our players.
Coaching Dante, he's entering his third year in the system, fourth year in college football. Are you able to challenge him more directly and give him more ownership than you would a younger quarterback? And just how does that dynamic work, you feel like?
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, it's going to be exciting this year. It's the first guy that we've had for 3 years in the system.
Yeah.
You know, we had Bo for two, Dill for one. Now this is year three with Tay. And there's times in practice, like in spring ball, like Coach Lanning will be in the headset like, hey, what's he doing? You know, like to me and Drew, and we'll be like, I don't know. We'll figure out here about 20 seconds when they snap the ball. Like, we trust him, you know? And, like, we've gotten to that point with Dante where, hey, here's a tool belt. Here's the toolbox. Here's how you use this tool in this situation. Here's how you use this tool in this situation. And go ahead and get us into the right play. You know, like, the smarter the guy is on the field for us, like, we're playing, right? So the smarter he is and the more he's able to do, we can kind of be more general at times. And it's like, okay, Tay, you're out there playing. You go ahead and get us into the right call that we need to get into. And, you know, we've been able to morph the system a little bit. We're probably much more pro style than we've ever been. Which enables you to get into the right play at the right time. It's been exciting.
Go ahead.
No, you're fine, Matt. No.
I was going to say, how do you decide whether it's Dante or another guy maybe down the road or previously is ready to be trusted with that responsibility to make adjustments on the fly without really even checking with you guys?
Yeah. I think it comes with time, right? It comes with, you know, building a relationship between the two players. Like I said, I can't speak highly enough about our room and how smart those guys are. Like, everybody in that room is very high functioning of high intelligence. But yeah, it's over time, right? And you watch them in practice and you let them make mistakes, right? And you start off with, hey, here's the play call. Go ahead and operate, right? So when Dante showed up 2 years ago, like, this is the play call. Go operate. We're not changing nothing, right? And then over time, what did he see? He saw, oh, Dylan changed this. So he added that to his mental toolbox, and he would go out there and he'd do something. Okay, you're able to change this to this now, right? And over time, the more and more you accumulate experience-wise and mentally, like, and the more you can demonstrate that in the classroom and on the field in practice, the more comfortable we get where it's like, okay, we're comfortable with this guy in Autzen in the middle of the fourth quarter in a tight game changing a play for us. Like, we're confident in what he's going to get us into.
Not trying to get you to reveal the playbook more so, but of – when you have an experienced quarterback, does that allow you to be more aggressive, more versatile, or do you feel like it's more efficient of what you can do?
I think efficiency is what it is, Matt. Like, he understands why we're calling plays, and he understands what we're trying to accomplish with the play calls. Whereas you get a young kid, what do most young kids think? And this is anything, right? This is like, and we talk about golf a lot in our room. It's like, hey, everybody wants to hit driver off the tee. Well, what if you suck at hitting driver? Hit your hybrid, right? Or hit your five wood, whatever it is, right? And so in regard to that, he understands why we're calling certain plays, and he understands the situations. Everybody thinks it's first and 10 every single down in football. In reality, that's like the minority of the plays in a game. 60 to 70% of the play calls in the game are all situationally based, whether it's field position, down and distance, hash, right? Score of the game, so on and so forth. And so with him being able to understand why we're calling plays, the efficiency within an experienced guy really, really improves, I think.
You praised Dylan Raiola's intelligence and ability to learn the offense during the spring. And I'm just post spring, kind of just where do you feel like that growth came from? Where did he see the growth for you and from the spring start to the end and kind of where you guys are at going into fall camp in a couple of weeks?
Yeah. Dylan's grown a lot since he's got with us. And I think big credit to the room. I can't, like, those guys in the room embraced him, and it wasn't like, oh, here comes this dude from another school. Like, right. No, they embraced him as one of their own from day one, and kudos to all the guys in our room. But where's his growth been? He's obviously become more comfortable with the system, a little bit different from what he came from in Nebraska. His dad, for as long as he played in the NFL, had a great foundation for Dylan and football understanding. That really shined early on when he got in there. And I think his body, you know, kudos to the kid. Like, his body has definitely morphed since he's got to us. And it's been a process, and it's been the dedication and the discipline it takes day in and day out to get that going in the right direction. But I think he's really, you know, coming off an injury that was a little worse than people probably think it was. And just being sedentary for some months, not being able to do much because it's a lower body injury. You know, credit to him. He's really changed his body a bunch since he got with us. And I'm very impressed with that. His understanding of the offense as well. And I think he's just become more comfortable with our operation, with our organization.
How do you – this obviously pertains to him, but I'm sure this scenario plays out multiple times across the year for the entire sport. But how do you develop an experienced quarterback when he's not going to be the starter? I mean, Dante, obviously, you know, maybe right. Things change. But right now, it's tough to envision him being the starter in 2026. And – how does a guy get who has a lot of experience, or maybe it's a Brock Thomas too, of a guy that's sure. played a lot of football. How do you get those guys developed when they aren't getting the major reps in games?
Yeah, I think one, I truly believe you can't coach every kid the same. So each kid in our room's got their own development plan, right? Like what Brock needs is different from what Dylan needs, is different from KJ, it's different from Dante, Ryder, TC, whoever's in the room. So every guy's got their own individualized plan. And I think beyond that, 2 years ago, Marcus came by, and he sat in our room and he, you know, I had a little cut up of a spring ball and I was like, "Hey, Mark, do you have any words for the room, you know, before you, we go through this cut up?" And he's like, "Yeah." And he, you know, he really dropped some knowledge on these guys. He said, one, the success of the starter is only as much as the health of the room. And he pretty much was like, "Hey, if there's any like dissension for who's the backup, who's the third guy, what's going on behind the scenes, the starter's going to suffer and his performance is going to suffer." That kind of stuck with me. One. Two, he sat there, and if anyone knows Marcus, he's the most humble human being. Yep. But he's like, "I've won the Heisman. I'm the number two pick of the draft. I've been in the NFL 10 years. Jaden Daniels is a starter in Washington. I still stand behind him 15 yards and take my reps every single day, right? Because I'm not going to get those reps because Jaden needs those. I get, you know, minuscule reps." And so for him to come in, this is when Dante was first young in our room, but for him to come in and kind of tell our guys that kind of resonated, right? It's a guy who's been there, done that. Everyone aspires to be Marcus at our place. And it's like for this guy to come in and say, "Hey, I'm still playing in the NFL because you know why? I get these mental reps and I still prepare like I got to play. And when I go in and I have to play, I play pretty well because you know why? I'm preparing like I have to be the starter week in and week out." And so I think that's what it is, right? Individualized plans for each guy. And then like not just coaching Dante, because the easy thing is just to coach a starter, especially right. in our room when one guy plays. But it's like, how do I coach 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 behind them, because you got to be prepared if something happens.
Your room's got a lot of different levels of experience, career timelines, how many years left, how many years they still could play. Yep. How do you generate genuine competition while, like you've talked about multiple times, how connected, how supportive these guys are? That's got to be an incredibly challenging thing to do, to blend those two things together.
It is. And not to get cliche in this conversation, but all of our guys end up golfing. Like KJ golfs now. Brock's at Shadow Hills. Tay's at ECCK. And like we talk about playing quarterbacks like golf, right? You might hit driver well. So how many situations can you get into where I can hit the driver well, right? You might be great at your mid irons. So how many situations can I get into where I can play my mid irons, right? I might be good at my wedges and my short game, my putting, right? So how many situations can I get in where I play to my strength? So what I'm trying to say here is like, how do you create competition? It truly is never person A versus person B, in my opinion. Like we talk about, like, we're going to play the guy who can consistently golf the lowest score. And when you can do that consistently, you're going to be the guy who goes out there on the field, right? And it might look different. It might be called a little bit different. The game might be played a little bit different. But, like, the competition really is, how do I lower my own score? How do I become more efficient at these concepts? How do I become more efficient at getting us into the right run call here? How do I become more efficient with pass protection? And so – from the outside, it may seem like, oh, how do you create competition in a room where you got Dante Moore? To me, it's like, well, it's kind of easy. It's like, you know, we just sat down 2 weeks ago and set goals for us for the next 5 weeks before I left on vacation. And we said, okay, where are you now? Where do you want to be in 5 weeks? And what are our checkpoints between now and then to get to that point? Right? In our program, we talk a lot about microscope goals and telescope goals. So it's like, what's our telescope goal in 5 weeks? What's our microscope goals between then? And what are our checkpoints that we can go and measure? It's like, okay, did I do this? Did I not do this? I think through that, these guys truly understand the competition is with myself. And how do I become more efficient?
You mentioned vacation. You're back home in Hawaii. What are the must-do things you need to accomplish before you get home to reset yourself?
For me, time with my mom and dad. I love coming home and seeing them. Food. The food here is unbelievable. I'm a big foodie. So I definitely get out and about to go try some different stuff here in the new restaurants in town. Then beach time, like the ocean has been such a, you know, for the, I joke with people, the first time I ever left the island was in ninth grade. Then after that, it was for official visits, which, you know, back then, 15, 20 years ago, were completely different.
Yes.
And then I spent literally 36 hours in Eugene and decided to go to school there, and I moved there, right? So you think about the ocean has been such a big part of my life, and every morning I wake up and I see it and I go to the ocean. And so when you don't have it every single day, it's like, oh shucks, this big part of my life's missing. So the ocean is huge for me. Getting in the ocean, spending some time there, then I'll be recharged and ready to roll when we get back in end of July.
Have you thought, now that you're kind of in a down period of just, you were in the program as a player when it was competing, getting to national championships. You're now in the program again as a coach of competing and in the discussion every year for the college football national championship. Like, just how wild the program was under your, as a player, how far they've come, and yet it still feels like it's come even further from that. Just and to be, how cool is that to be there as a player and now as a coach, shaping both the legacies and the future of it?
I mean, blessed. Like, if you would have told me this at 17, I said, you crazy, you're out of your mind. Like, there's no way that's possible. I joke with recruits when they come on campus for recruiting trips, like, hey, in the HDC where we're standing, this was a parking lot when I got here, or that nice indoors going up, or grass fields that you shared with soccer and lacrosse. You know, we used to be in the CAS only. Upstairs where we take pictures was the cafeteria. And you know, I just joke with them, like, hey, they when I was a recruit, there was talks of the HDC, right? And it's like, hey, you're gonna come here, they're gonna build this crazy cool building. I'm like, okay, sure, everybody says that. And you show up as a player and you watch them come through on that promise, right? The school and the university. And then I come back as a coach and they're like, hey, we're gonna build this crazy indoor. And then now sitting here watching that go up, and it's being able to be part of the program for now, I mean, close to 20 years, you know, as a player, alumni, and a coach, super lucky. And I wouldn't trade it for the world. You got to try your hardest to get me out of Eugene. I love the town, and it's become second home for me.
Man, well, I really appreciate your time. Enjoy your time off, your break. Catch up with you when you get to Eugene. And good luck this season for college football and where the Ducks are going to go.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Matt. You have a great day.
Thanks, you too.